Chapter 8, Just Say Yes to Your Business. I've shared my own story throughout this book, and now it's your turn to just say yes to each and every opportunity to grow your business, no matter how uncomfortable or downright scary any of these opportunities may seem. It's time to look in the mirror, ask why that person is the single biggest impediment to your success, and then hold that person fully accountable. It's time to stop worrying about all the what-ifs that may come your way. You've already figured out how to solve a ton of them to this point in your life. It's time to stop playing small ball and settling for small results. It's time to be as much of a doer as you are a dreamer. It's time to learn from other successful entrepreneurs, follow in their footsteps, and leapfrog to get better results. It's time to get rid of the microwave mentality. Trade logical thinking for imagination. It's time to forgive yourself, correct your mindset, and get rid of your head trash. It's time to just say yes to growing your dream business and achieving the success that you desire so strongly. You are actually closer than you think to creating and growing a dream business. There's a good possibility that you can't see that because you can't see what's right around the corner or the next bend, so your mind makes you think it's miles down the road or very far off. You believe that you have to create something new or do something different in order to grow. Many entrepreneurs suffer from this, and I call it creativity-itis. Perhaps you're afflicted. Creativity-itis is the belief that you have to create everything from scratch and must always be creating something new to get your business to the next level. Again, you're probably closer than you think, but I was also a victim of creativity-itis. I stood in front of a high-level mastermind group and shared where I was at that point and all of the different businesses I had as well and what I wanted to create in the coming year. I felt pretty good about it. And then one of the top entrepreneurs in the group said, "Hey, Jim, you know what? You'd be so much further ahead if you would simply focus on marketing what you've already created and do a better job with that than always creating new stuff." Wow, talk about a blast of clarity. I could see that. And that advice it really slapped me in the face, honestly. It's probably one of the best pieces of business advice I ever received. Once I got over the sting of being rebuked in front of the group, it was actually relieving to realize that I didn't have to create a bunch of new things and could boost my profitability simply by concentrating on marketing what I'd already created. So while I've been encouraging you to just say yes to the things that come your way, it cannot be at the expense of what you have already done and already created. You must find the balance or you will get stuck in creativity-itis. For many entrepreneurs, creativity-itis is actually a way to avoid doing things that must be done now to grow your business. It's more fun and certainly less frightening to spend time doing the creative things rather than the uncomfortable ones. For me, I wanted results, but until I accepted the fact that I was going to have to do these things where I felt in my uncomfortable zone, so to speak, I was never going to truly achieve what I wanted. And the truth is that if you truly want to create your dream business to grow it and achieve your dream lifestyle, you're simply going to have to do the uncomfortable things, no matter how scary they may seem. I mean, let's face it, fear is hardwired into our brains and it triggers the fight or flight response. It's quite normal to avoid the unknown because that is exactly what your brain wants you to do. But I'll caution you, that certainty that you crave is the same as the ankle shackle on the elephant. It is limiting how far you can go and how whether or not you will achieve what you want. The most successful entrepreneurs know they have to tackle the uncomfortable things and commit to doing something even if they don't know how. They believe and trust that they will figure it out along the way. They know there is no perfect time and circumstances will never be perfect. If you are still scared to take the leap, still worrying about the what-ifs, still afraid to go splat, let me share with you the two possible outcomes that great entrepreneurs already know about saying yes first and then figuring out how to do it. The first outcome is that they will succeed. They'll sprout wings and soar high and fly far. They'll achieve greater success sooner. The other outcome is that they will fail, and possibly fail big. Yep, they'll go splat. But they'll learn from the failure and ultimately achieve great success sooner than if they stood on the cliff looking down, worrying about the what if. Successful entrepreneurs understand that this, and because of it, they learn to become accustomed to uncertainty. I know plenty of entrepreneurs who actually thrive on uncertainty. Perhaps they're also adrenaline junkies, but they relish the uncertainty and are in fact completely certain about their entrepreneurial idea. They know that taking action is the antidote to the fear that comes from uncertainty. You're probably familiar with Whole Foods Market. It built its brand as America's healthiest grocery store. Perhaps you shop at Whole Foods, but I don't imagine you consider homelessness or living in a grocery store to be part of what is now a Fortune 500 company. It's a great example of two entrepreneurs who were completely certain of their idea. John Mackey and Renee Lawson Hardy, both in their 20s, borrowed $45,000 from families to open a natural food store in Austin, Texas. They ended up homeless after they were evicted from their apartment because they were using it for food storage for the store. With nowhere else to go, they decided to live at their store, Safeway Natural Foods, without a shower stall because of commercial use only zoning. The solution, using a Hobart dishwasher with an unattached water hose. Wait, it gets actually worse. Less than a year after the original Whole Foods Market, after partnering with Craig Weller and Mark Skiles, the worst flood in 70 years hit Austin, and the store's inventory was wiped out and most of the equipment was damaged. The approximate loss was $400,000. But wait, it gets even worse. Whole Foods Markets had no insurance. Customers and neighbors pitched in to clean up and repair the damage, and creditors gave them some breathing room to resurrect the store. It reopened in 28 days. I have no doubt that these entrepreneurs faced plenty of fear. Yet despite eviction, difficult living arrangements, and a devastating flood, today that company is the largest of its kind with billions in revenues and assets. You can overcome uncertainty and quell the fear with a plan. Think about it, develop it, implement it. Determine what you want your dream business and dream lifestyle to be and write it down. Then consider what you fear about attempting to reach your goal. When you are clear about what your fear is, you are on the track to eliminating the uncertainty that goes with it and create the steps needed to pursue and achieve your goal. Make a plan and take action. No matter what, the right answer is always yes when it's only fear and uncertainty that makes you want to say no. Just say yes even when you don't know what to do. You'll figure it out. This is the heart of innovation after all. Discoveries often happen by accident. I mean, penicillin, microwaves, Velcro, Teflon are just a few examples of accidental discoveries that made the world a better place. On the other hand, think about things like the personal computer or smartphone, two things that resulted from the inventors dreaming about the wildest possibilities, saying yes and then figuring out how to make it happen. Innovations like these didn't make the world a better place. They absolutely changed the way the world worked. I want to share with you about the power of zero. I first learned this strategy of the power of zero in my business early on. It's actually become much more of a mindset now. Early in my entrepreneurial days, I had a mentor who kind of took me under his wing. When we were meeting one day, he said, "Hey, so Palmer, what's your dream? What's your vision?" You know, I said, "Well, it's very simple. I'm just happy to be getting started, growing my business." I said, "If I could generate, you know, $50,000, I'd be happy." He looked at me with this look. It was a combination of surprise, shock. Actually, I think there was anger in his eyes. He said, "What the hell? $50,000? Dude, think $100,000, $150,000. Jim, could you live on $500,000 a year?" And I said, "Yes, I could." He said, "Well, let me tell you what your problem is, dude. You need to think bigger. You need to add a zero to every one of your goals." And he challenged me to kind of tear down the walls and kick down the door and stop playing small ball. Your mind is a very, very powerful tool, but it can also be equally self-limiting. In my case, in order to generate my original goal of $50,000, I knew instinctively how many networking events I'd need to attend, how many people I would need to meet, how many letters I might have to mail. In other words, it was a fairly attainable goal. I knew the steps needed to achieve that goal, but to make $100, $150, or half a million dollars was completely new thinking to me. Now, I needed to ask myself different questions, starting with, okay, what do I need to do to make a half a million dollars? And suddenly, over the days, weeks, and months that followed, it became very clear that mailing a few letters, shaking a few hands, going to networking events, chambers of commerce meetings, etc., it wasn't going to be enough. I had to think on a much larger scale. However, my brain was already working on solving the problem of what do I need to do to earn a half a million dollars. So I'll challenge you in the same way. If your goal is 100 new clients, add a zero and make it 1,000. Keep asking yourself, what do you need to do to make that expanded goal a reality? Your subconscious mind will open up and will continue to work to help you answer the question and find the solutions. Conversely, if you stick with only finding 100 clients, your brain will reveal the steps needed to find the 100, but that's small ball. Don't do it. As I said in the beginning, success leaves tracks. You are not alone. There are countless entrepreneurs who have gone before you, whose trials and errors you can study to avoid the same pitfalls, whose steps to success you can emulate to shorten your own journey. The starting point is the degree to which you fully believe in yourself, your business model, and the product or service you're offering, selling, or providing. How much do you believe in your business is going to improve and even change lives of your customers? How much do you truly believe that? Will it make lives better or improve the speed and efficiency with which other businesses operate? How much skin are you willing to put in the game and put forth to really get your message out there and grow a big and profitable business? I fully believe that you can purchase speed. To advance your growth and efforts to build a faster business, there are clear ways to accelerate your profitability. However, the equation of risk versus reward also comes into play. The bigger the bet and risk, of course, the bigger the reward and payoff. Conversely, small bets lead only to small results. Many entrepreneurs are afraid to just say yes to a big bet and are only willing to make a small wager on themselves and their businesses. A small bet might be, I'm going to read 5 business books this month on various topics. I love education, and I certainly am a fan of reading and writing books, but if you think you're going to read a book and implement what you learn in your own business, I believe that's the slow way to grow your business. It's a small bet. I mean, you're only investing, what, $10, $20 for the book? But your results will very likely only reflect that small investment. The corresponding big bet is if you were to attend, say, a live event, a multi-day seminar or a conference, during which you'll be consuming information from a fire hose, with all of your focus on what is being presented, what you're learning and how you can apply that in your own business. You'll probably hear from several highly experienced people who are sharing the steps that they took and perhaps did the work themselves. And, you know, one or more presenters will be handing you a roadmap that you need to take the most direct route to profit and success. You'll come away with a handful of nuggets or elegant ideas, as I call them, and you can immediately implement to accelerate your business. Success leaves tracks. Again, however, if it's a big bet for you to follow them, in this case, it's expensive. This is much different than a book. If you attend a conference, you're going to pay for lodging, transportation, perhaps airline flights, and oh yeah, you have to step away from your business for a few days. The investment you're making is far greater than the book, but potentially the rewards will be greater as well. Another example of a small bet is getting together with other entrepreneurs in your area to share ideas and perhaps commiserate about the challenges of owning your own business, being an entrepreneur. You can cheer each other on and hold each other accountable. It's a very low-risk move because you haven't put any skin in the game. There will be some benefit, but the results you get will be much smaller than those you would get from joining a paid mastermind group, especially one led by an experienced coach. It's that person's job to not only cheer you on, but to hold you accountable, but to really provide you with some tough love when it's needed and never let you off the hook. Those things probably won't happen at a local gathering of business owners. It's a simple fact that as an entrepreneur, you'll always strive to get the ROI. If you buy a $20 book, you'll want to get at least, you'll want to finish the reading the book and maybe get at least $20, $25, $30, maybe $100 worth of value. Who knows? The more you invest, the greater the ROI. The greater the ROI, the faster you will grow your business. You will, in effect, be purchasing speed. The right investment in your business can definitely accelerate your growth and your profitability. The right investment is the big bet every time, never the small one. The question comes down to how much do you want to grow and how fast do you want to grow and create your dream business that will support your dream lifestyle? The answer is totally up to you, and the answer will dictate whether you place a small bet or whether you go all in. One of the things I teach at Dream Business Academy is what I call my $1 million platform, and that's what's needed to grow a profitable business to reach six figures, seven figures, and beyond. It's my marketing machine, and I fully believe in its results. I'm going to briefly touch on it here. And, you know, there's actually an illustration in the hard copy of the book, but you can't see that because I'm talking to you. But anyway, in the million dollar platform, there are several things. I start my marketing with printed newsletters because that happened to be my area of expertise. So within newsletters, there's print and mail. There's also being part of the $1 million platform is email. And done correctly, your newsletter is an ideal way to get to your customers to know, like, and trust you. Authorship, writing a blog, a book is another component. It's a great way to specifically share your expertise in depth and also plays a part in building your own celebrity and credibility. Podcasting is another way to build credibility and celebrity and share your knowledge. I really didn't know the first thing about it, but I launched my podcast program, Dream Business Radio, and I share with listeners each week a few great nuggets about customer service, retention, and business building. I hated the sound of my own voice, but I just said yes and did it anyway. Videos are next big part of the $1 million platform, and by now you might be thinking, Jim, I'm doing newsletters, writing a book, and podcasting. Why do I have to do videos as well? The answer is simple. Your prospects and customers all want to consume information in different ways. Some people are visual learners, so they want to see it, not just hear it. Some people don't have a lot of time to read, so they'd rather just listen. That's why I'm doing the audiobook. Exhibiting, speaking at conferences, hosting your own live event or webinar are all components of the $1 million platform. These are all certainly big, scary things for me to do. They were, but I decided to just say yes to all of them, and the results have been exponential business growth. I fully embrace this marketing model and can attest to its success. It takes each of these components for rapid and exponential growth. If you try and pick and choose from the list, you'll certainly be missing or excluding certain segments of prospects because you are not reaching them in the manner that they choose to consume information. If you want to pick and choose from some of these marketing methods based on your comfort level with some and discomfort with others, you're not allowing yourself to stand on the cliff and look down and jump. It's certainly your choice to allow yourself to just stand there, but if you do, you'll never generate the growth you want and need to create and explode your dream business. If you allow yourself to stand on the cliff and look around, you will never learn to fly, and you will look back at the end with bitter regret for failing to do so. It takes a lot of guts to launch a business, and I know it takes a lot of guts to jump off that cliff and trust that you'll figure it out. I believe your chance to achieve greater success is far better when you go all in. Another way to approach it is to not have a plan B. Your plan has to work because there is no alternative. Let me share a quick lesson that was told to me by another very successful entrepreneur, John Lee Dumas, during one of my podcast interviews. The year was 1519, and Hernan Cortez landed on a vast plateau called Mexico. He had with him about 600 Spaniards, sans protective armor, roughly 16 horses, and fewer than a dozen boats. He also had a dream of conquering an empire that contained some of the world's greatest treasure, including gold, silver, and precious Aztec jewels. By logical standards, the attempt to conquer such an expansive empire signaled that Cortez possibly also had a death wish. You see, for more than 600 years, other conquerors with far greater resources who had attempted to colonize Mexico and take the treasure failed. Cortez knew the history and knew of previous failed attempts, so he took a different approach in his quest to conquer the Aztecs. Instead of charging ahead and forcing his men into immediate battle, Cortez remained on the beach and worked to inspire his men with stirring speeches. He urged the spirit of adventure and stoked the desire for lifetimes of fortune. In coaching mastery, he turned a military exercise into adventure into the minds of his troops. Through all of his oratories, it was a matter of three words that changed the history of the New Worlds when Cortez ordered, "Burn the boats." It was a command that smacked of lunacy. If defeat loomed at the hands of the Aztecs, there was no exit strategy, no retreat, no way to save their lives. There was no plan B. Cortez was all in. Rather than undermining the confidence of his men, it had the opposite effect. With only two choices, ensure victory or die, it ignited the will to win like never before. The outcome is recorded in history. Hernan Cortez became the first man in 600 years to successfully conquer Mexico. There's some dispute about the veracity of the story, but it's not difficult to believe. A move like this would have, and very likely did, change the mindset of the men fighting for Cortez. With no way out and the healthy survival instinct innate in each of us, victory resulted. Knowing what you know now about mindset, it's time for you to take the same action that Cortez did to conquer Mexico and ultimately enjoy riches beyond belief. Burn your boats. Cut whatever rope you see as an escape lifeline. Put Plan B in the shredder. Just say yes, jump, and figure out how to fly on the way down.